Father, we're so thankful to be here. Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us this morning. Lord, that our thoughts wouldn't drift, that our minds would be focused on what you have to say, that you would, Lord, meet us here this morning. Open up our eyes. May we make the changes necessary in our lives to follow you wholeheartedly. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the message today is a choice. You know, each one of us, every day, we get the opportunity to make choices in our lives, don't we? Where we want to eat lunch, what we want to eat for lunch, you know, if we're going to watch TV, if we're going to go out in the yard, if we're, you know, we're faced with multiple choices each and every day, from little insignificant things to maybe even choices that can have an impact on our lives, on our children, on future generations. Each one of us are faced with choices every day. Joshua 24, verse 14. And I ended last week's sermon reading these verses, and we're going to begin this week's sermon reading them again. Joshua 24:14 and 15 says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Maybe you guys remember that verse from the last line there. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You know, as I'm reading this and I'm thinking, serving the gods of the Ammonites, of the forefathers, and not serving the living God, most of us this morning would say, well, there's no way I'm going to serve a false God. You know, but how many of us do that with our lives and we don't even realize it? You know, just even coming to church, okay? When you don't come to church, why don't you come? Well, I'm tired. I was going to sleep in. I've got this to do or I've got that to do. So what are you serving there? You might say, oh, Pete, you're prying a little bit. That's getting kind of personal. No, it's reality. It's who we decide. Okay, who am I going to render my life to? Who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve the Lord and all that comes with that? Or am I going to serve myself and my pleasures and my wants and my desires? Each of us have a choice each and every day of how we're going to live our lives and who we're going to serve. Are we saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And do we mean that with all of our heart? Are we really going to live that out? Or is it just something that we're going to say and then we're going to go and Jesus is just going to be an afterthought? He's going to be just something in the back of our mind. Or if we need something, all at once we'll pray. Romans 8:6-8 says, "The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." So as I'm reading this and I'm thinking, so we have a choice every day. What am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the sinful man and the mind of a sinful man? Or am I going to follow the Spirit and allow myself to be controlled by the Spirit? How quickly we can jump around. Okay, how many of y'all have ever been on a diet? Raise hands. Anybody ever been on a diet? Okay. How quickly can you fail on a diet? Okay. Like, you guys know I've been trying to diet. I've been trying to be self-controlled. And I, at one point I'd lost 20 pounds. But I'm back up about 8. So, what's going on there? Well, we went to Branson. You know what's in Branson? Krispy Kremes. You know what? I love donuts. You know? And the bad thing about me and donuts is if one's good, then so is a dozen. You know, so I mean, I can't stop, okay? And so I get home from Branson, and I'm doing good again, and everything's going good. And I don't know how many of y'all has ever had Paul's Bakery donuts. We got warnings going off. Everybody's phone. I can even hear my phone. So that's warnings about donuts, okay? They're bad for you. So we're at work, okay? I love Paul's Bakery, okay? And I hadn't had Paul's Bakery donuts in probably 2-3 years, if maybe even longer than that. And we were having a safety week a couple weeks ago, and I come in, and there's these fresh Paul Bakery donuts sitting on the table. And I'd made up my mind I was getting strict again, okay? I'd had in my mind, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to get back on my diet. I'm going to start eating it right again, start eating healthy. I walk in the door, and there's dozens of these Paul Bakery donuts sitting in front of me. Y'all, it's been years since I'd had Paul's Bakery. You know how long I lasted? About 30 seconds. And I made the choice, oh, them donuts are just too good. I hadn't had Paul's in forever. And I justified in my mind. And you know what? I didn't just have one. I had to have two. But then I got better after I had two. I didn't go back for 3 or 4 like some of the guys did. I just had two. But that's still wrong. Okay? So I had in my mind, I'm getting back on my diet. I'm going back to my oranges and apples and bananas and gonna eat healthy. To walking through a door and seeing donuts, and I switched. Now you guys might say, okay, that's just kind of how life is. But y'all, that's how our spiritual life is so often too. Because we can make up our mind on Sunday. Maybe you guys have had a bad week. Maybe you failed this week. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you gave in to temptation. But you're here this morning and you're crying out in your heart and you're saying, God, I want to live my life for you. I want to be your servant. I want to follow you. As for me and my house, we will follow you. But then how quickly when we leave here this afternoon, we might not even get to the road and someone zooms in front of us or your wife or your husband or your kids act a certain way and all at once anger in the mind of the sinful nature of the flesh can grab hold so quickly. Is anybody getting this besides me this morning? You know, we can have good intentions, but how quickly those can go out the window as soon as something doesn't go our way. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So I would tell you this morning that we have a choice. Who are we going to be controlled by? What are we going to be controlled by? Are we going to be controlled by the sinful nature, the desires of the flesh, the lust that comes with all of this, that this body cries out so quickly to that donut, cries out so quickly to that anger, to that resentment, to that jealousy? You know, we don't see ourselves the way other people see us, right? We really don't. And I remember one time, it's been several years ago, and I don't think I get mad that quick. I really don't. I don't think I get mad very quick. And for some reason we got on the subject, and my kid said, well, Dad, you just get mad so quick. And you just get angry like that. And I'm sitting there, and then I'm mad. No, I don't get it. You know, I'm mad. But I didn't see myself as getting mad that quick. I really didn't. And I think part of it was, and I think I told him this, you don't realize how long I was holding it in before it finally came out. How I was mad about an hour before and you just kept pushing my buttons, you know. But in reality, they seen it as dad gets mad quick, okay? And what I'm trying to say is that we get how quickly we can go from happy to mad, how quickly we can go to anger, to jealousy, to, you know, have you guys ever been having a really good day and just a little something hits you wrong? Maybe a coworker, maybe somebody said something kind of rude, maybe, you know, and all at once, wow. I told Crystal, I might have already told you all this. I'm getting old and I'm repeating my stories, but a couple Fridays ago, we were really busy at work and I've got a new morning boss. I forget I'm recorded, you know. I don't think anybody listens to it anyway, but we got a new boss and he's a lot more mellow than Todd that was our boss. And you guys have met Todd. He's been here before. And I haven't really got mad at him yet. Not really. You know, irritated, but you work around people long enough, you're going to get irritated with people, right? He said something, and I was busting it. I was going as fast as I could, dripping with sweat, and he smarted off to me. And y'all, I just exploded on the inside. I was so mad. You gonna talk to me like that? And I started driving as fast as I could, slamming into stuff and throwing stuff, and just, I said, I'm getting it done. Here we go, I'm getting it done. And he needed something done, and I was doing it as fast as I could. But anyway, I lost it. I didn't scream out, I didn't cuss him, but I probably could have. Because on the inside, I was so mad. And I let him have it with my actions, though. I was fine. And he says one comment, and then, rah! What was controlling me? The spirit? I don't think so. As I calmed down, within 10 or 15 minutes, I had already forgiven him for what he said. And I told Crystal that night, I was telling her about it. And I said, but stepping back from it, I understand, because he was stressed out. He was having a really bad morning. A lot of stuff had went wrong that morning. And he was stressed. And so it just kind of hit me. So I didn't hold it against him. It was all okay. But y'all, where I messed up was I let my flesh get the better of me because of that one comment that he said. But when I'm controlled by the Spirit, it says that we have peace. And see, that's where we really got to get, y'all, is we make a choice. Are we going to allow those circumstances to rule us like so often they do? Or are we going to make the choice to be so full of the Holy Spirit that it doesn't matter what's going on in this world? It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. And take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So when I'm reading all this, okay, guarding our hearts. We can make a choice to guard our hearts. Allowing what we allow in our life, allowing what we take in, allowing even how we react to situations. Because sometimes people's going to say stuff, right, that's going to make us mad. Sometimes people's going to say stuff to hurt our feelings. And we can make the choice. Are we going to guard our hearts and not allow that to ruin our mood, to allow that to dictate how we are going to have the rest of our day go? And when I was thinking about this, we make a choice. It says, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. So we make a choice. We make a choice with what we're going to say, right? We make a choice of how we're going to react. We make a choice of, are we letting corrupt talk come out of our mouth, or are we holding it in? Y'all, I've been trying to get better because you know, believe it or not, I can say some pretty funny stuff sometimes that's making fun of people, but it's not nice to do. And at work, you know, we jab and we make fun and we pick. But honestly, the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to quit. I've been trying to quit. Not that we're talking dirty or anything like that, but you know, we make fun of each other. Sometimes making fun of each other can hurt, right? It can really hurt, and you can really offend, and you can really, and then all, once the flesh comes in. So I'm sitting here reading this, and it's saying, keep that corrupt talk from your lips. So I can make the choice this morning what I'm going to say. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. And when I was reading this, and I was thinking, how often, what robs my joy, what takes away my peace? It's looking around at others, right? It's looking around at what others are doing. You know, a lot of people that I work with, they're so worried about what everybody else is doing that it robs them of what they're doing themselves. And I'm bad too. I'm not just pointing fingers, but okay, first thing when I get to work, am I boring y'all this morning? Everybody seems sleepy. Did y'all just stay up late from the storms? They kept me up, okay? But whenever I'm at work, I go in, the boss hands me a trailer to go and break. And what I mean by break is move all the freight off of it. Okay? And there's three or four of us that are all starting at the same time. If I look, if someone else got like, a half full trailer, and I got a fuller a trailer that's crammed, packed full, you know what? What happens inside of me? Why'd he get that? I'm number one seniority. Why didn't the boss give me the easier trailer? Why does that guy never get the hard stuff? Why do I always get the hard? Because you know certain trailers from certain areas, Fort Worth, West Memphis, it's going to be bad. And there's going to be stuff tore up, you know? And so you'd rather have something that Casey hasn't loaded. No, kidding, Casey. But you know certain trailers are going to be bad. Y'all, I'm bad about looking around. What's everybody else doing? I had some guys a couple weeks ago. Did I already tell y'all this story too? It hurt my feelings. We had a messed up day. And I didn't get to run my Paris run. You guys know I go to Paris, and I've gone to Paris for probably 5 years, and I go almost every day, unless something's really messed up. And that day, we was having a messed up day, and he put a young guy on the Paris run, and I got this Clarksville run that was loaded down with residentials. And everybody started laughing. Ha ha. Hurt my feelings. One guy even told me, he goes, you know, I was having a bad day till I found out what run you was on, and it just made me happy. And I thought, you jerk. You know, that you're happy that I'm not on my run today? And then guess what? They gave it to this other guy because they thought we were going to be really late. I ended up getting to Clarksville and leaving out before he even got hooked up. And I said something to the boss. Look at how slow this guy is. I could have already had it done. And then I'm, control yourself, Pete. Control yourself, because you could get angry real quick. Y'all know what? I ended up having a great day. I got to see some people that I hadn't seen in years because I used to run Clarksville years ago. There wasn't anything hard about the day. The residentials, people met me. Everything went smooth. I actually even got to help a customer out. I had a good day. I was dreading it. I already made up in my mind I was mad. I made the choice because I was upset because I didn't get my run. I kept praying and I ended up having a good day, y'all. But then the mouthiness of the coworkers and everything else, how quickly it grabs at you and you just, I mean, the point, I want to let them have it. Y'all, we make a choice of, are we going to give in? Or are we going to look straight ahead? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Because looking around at what everybody else is doing, it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess you up. Maybe it's not at work. Maybe it's at home. Maybe somebody gets a new car and you can't afford one. Or someone gets a new house and you can't even fix the one that you have. Or someone's blessed with this. Or someone's blessed with that. And someone, you're looking around at everybody else and it's going to rob your joy and it's going to make you get in the flesh real quick. So we need to fix our eyes straight ahead. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And so as Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, there it is where the Spirit comes in, y'all. Are we going to make the choice that whether our path is taking us down different roads and different curves? Are we listening for that voice? Are we listening for the Spirit? Can you guys recognize the difference between the Spirit and the flesh? I can. But what usually dominates in most of our lives? Is it the Spirit or is it the flesh? Is it given into the flesh? But if we'll listen, we'll hear that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. That God can say, Pete, just let it go. Pete, don't even look at that stuff. Just let it go. What does it matter? Are we making the choice to listen to God? This is the way, walk in it. Are we listening by prayer, by reading, by coming to church, by really listening, not just hearing? See, this morning everybody's hearing my voice. But how many of us are really listening to what the Word of God is saying to us this morning? How many of us are really listening and saying, I need to work on this. That the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. Romans 12:2, I read these verses a lot. They're some of my favorite verses. But it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is what? Your flesh. It's your desires. It's win at all costs. Give me, give me, give me. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Y'all, it's just like me walking in and seeing those Paul Bakery donuts, how quickly I gave in to that temptation. Y'all, how quickly we can give in to allowing our mind to think and meditate on things that we have no business thinking about, that we have no business meditating on, and that we need to renew our mind. When I was thinking about that, do we make the choice to renew our mind? How do you renew your mind? How do you renew your mind? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so we make the choice. But you know, TV, there's a lot of gossip shows on. There's a lot of shows about, you know, who's doing this and who's doing what. Are those good, pure, noble, lovely things? No. But they're top rated. They're all over the place. Why? Because people want to hear the garbage. They want to hear the junk. We have to renew our minds that when that good gossip's coming, we don't listen. We try to think the best. That's what love talks about in 1 Corinthians. That is always patient, always kind, always hopes for the best. We want to renew our mind. We need to begin to think about the things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. You might say, that's hard, Pete. It is hard. It is hard when you're getting bombarded with garbage all day. I got a story here. And if you're not asleep yet, you will be. I'm kidding. Here's this story, okay? You guys may have heard this story before. And I said something in Sunday school last week. I've looked for this story for a long time. And Bridget found it for me. Bridget and them's traveling today, so she's not getting to hear it. But I thought Bill Britt told this story years ago. But as I'm looking at it, it's from David Jeremiah. I think it said from 2004. So maybe it was David Jeremiah that told the story and not Bill Britt, and I just got it backwards in my mind. It's a little bit lengthy, but I want y'all to listen, okay? It says, imagine with me, if you will, two farmers. One raises wheat, and the other, down the road a ways, raises tomatoes. Both farmers have balloon payments coming up on their mortgage. Everything hinges on harvest. A crop failure would mean the loss of the farm. Let's complicate things a bit more. Let's put into each farm this fact that the farmer's wife is very sick and in need of an expensive surgery, and without it, there's little hope of improvement. And one more thing, both families are faithfully walking with God. It's evening. Each family listens intently to the weather forecast. There is a 50-50 chance of rain this particular night. The wheat farmer is well aware that his field needs one more heavy soaking rain to bring the grain through the harvest. With that, the farm would be theirs, and his wife would be able to walk again. Down the road, the other farmer knows that his tomatoes are right at their prime, ready to be harvested. But if the rain comes, not only will his field become a muddy bog, making it impossible to harvest, but the moisture would trigger a blight that could destroy the entire crop. Without the harvest, they could lose everything. After the weather report, each family gathers around the bed in the room where mom is resting, and each family prays, mom and dad and a couple of the kids. One by one, they lift their hearts to God. Oh, Lord, praise the wheat family. You know what's at stake. Please, Lord, send the rain. You know how much we want to please you. If only you would bring the rain, it would mean so much to us, and we would give you all the praises in Jesus' name. Amen. And down the road, equally earnestly, prayers ascended to God. Oh, Father, please keep the rain from falling. Everything depends on this harvest. Thank you for listening, and we trust in you. In you, Jesus' name, amen. And as the younger children slide off to bed, she turns to the mother and says, don't worry, Mommy, I know God will answer our prayers. Good night. It is silent now, except the wind whistling around the corners of the farmhouse. The hours pass. What will happen? You know, this is a story, but it's truth, right? Different homes, different people praying for different things. It says here, here's where we play God. We can arrange to have the rain follow the fence line between the two farms, wet on one side, dry on the other. But that's not the way things usually are. What shall we do? Let's find out. Suddenly, the wheat farmer wakes. He hears a sound on the sheet metal roof of the garage. He holds his breath, just one drop. Is that all? No, in moments, the drops multiply until they sound like thunder on the roof. Two children coming, running down the hall. They have heard it too. Bouncing on Mommy's bed, they shout, God heard our prayers. He heard them. Isn't it exciting? Once again, the family gathers with tears of joy, praising the Lord. But down the road, the other farmer also hears the first raindrops. Sitting up in bed, he too holds his breath. Perhaps it will stop. Please, Father, oh please. But no, louder and louder the sheets of rain sweep over his home, splattering against the windows, and he sees in his mind those fields of tomatoes beaten down and drowning in the mud. Quietly he slips back beneath the blankets. There's no sound of children's feet running down the hall in his home, but in the darkness he feels the gentle squeeze of his wife's hand on his shoulder as she whispers, sweetheart, it's all right. He knows. God cares. Next morning, it's breakfast time with the wheat family, and what a breakfast it is. Mom scurries around the kitchen in her wheelchair. Everybody's excited. Daddy, one of his children, says, everything is all right, isn't it? We can pay off the farm, and Mommy will be well again. Isn't God wonderful? And the tomato farmer, there is breakfast there too, but it's very quiet. Father says he will ask the blessing, but instead there is a long, long pause. Finally, unable to hold back the tears, he speaks between his sobs. Lord, we prayed. We really thought we prayed the way we should, and Lord, we don't understand it. It seems so right that you should answer, but thank you, Lord. You do love us, and we know that. We will keep right on trusting you no matter what happens. The silence that follows is broken by some hurting wise, and Daddy finds no answer. Y'all, that's real life, isn't it? I've been faced with that sometimes of asking God, why? I don't understand, God, why? I was praying. I don't understand, Lord, why? So since this is our story, let's not stop right there. Let's imagine 5 years have gone by. We are again walking down the lane by those same two farms. The first thing that catches our eyes is the freshly painted barn and a new car parked in front of the one farmhouse. Out behind are rolling hills covered with wheat. Let's move up close by the window. There is a mom standing, looking robust and strong, walking around the kitchen fixing breakfast. The kids are just coming in. They are 5 years older now. And there is Dad taking his boots off after the early morning chores. Family, he says, do you know what day this is? This is the fifth anniversary of the greatest crisis that our family has ever gone through. Do you remember that night we prayed and God heard our prayers? Didn't He? Dad, wasn't it great? Mom is well now. The farm is all ours, isn't it, Dad? That's right. In fact, God has blessed us more than I ever dreamed. He deserves not only our thanks, but also our lives. So let's gather around the table, each one of us, and tell Him how much we love Him. Y'all, it's easy, right? When there's blessings, when there's cure, when God comes through in a way that we see, and it's like, wow! It says, what might we find if we stop at the house down the road? There it is, such a contrast. It looks so run down, and the name on the front of the barn has changed. The family is still there, but they are tenants now. Let's step up closer to the kitchen window. There are the kids coming in along with Dad, fresh from the morning chores. Dad walks down the hall. In a few moments, Dad returns, pushing his wife's wheelchair closer to the kitchen table. Before asking the blessing, Dad turns to the family and asks, family, do you know what day this is? This is the fifth anniversary of the greatest crisis our family has ever gone through. Do you remember what happened 5 years ago? As they recalled that devastating night, the family joins hands in Dad's praise. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. At first, that night seemed like such a catastrophe. And yet, oh Father, how you have taught us things about yourself. You have opened the door to a knowledge of you through our suffering we never could have known about any other way. God, you are so good. Do things like this happen in our made-up story really happen in real life? Yes, they do. Stories like this one could be told 1,000 times by thousands of Christians, steelworkers, shut-ins, students, missionaries, teachers, shopkeepers. Unique stories only they know, yet woven through it all are threads that lead us back to one all-knowing, all-wise, Most High God. Oh, the wonder of the mystery of our God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows the strength of suffering that we only know the pain of. He knows the hurt of wealth and prosperity that we may only know the joy of. I like that. The strength of suffering and hurt of prosperity. Reason why I read that story this morning is because each family had a choice to make, right? One full of blessing. That's an easy choice. Thank you, Lord. You blessed us. But the family that got the rain that didn't need it, they still had a choice to make. God, are we going to trust you anyway? Are we going to continue to serve you even though life isn't what we thought? Even when problems, even when obstacles come in the way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's so easy when the blessings are there. When you get the new vehicle, when you get the raise, when your stock goes high and life is good and everyone's healthy. But how hard is it when your prayer's not answered and there's a hurt, there's a pain, there's a loss of job, there's a death, there's a sickness, there's a breakup, there's problems. You know, a few years back we went through some trials and struggles at this church and I remember calling and talking to Tim. And Tim said, God is still God. God is still God. Even when we don't understand, God is still God. Are we going to make the choice this morning? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord even if the blessings aren't there. Even when it seems like the victory isn't there, even when your coworkers are making fun and hurting your feelings and problems arise. See, we all got a choice to make. I'm going to end with these couple verses. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, it says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I know we're running out of time, but this day God has set before each one of us life and death. Blessings or curses. And I love in verse 20 it says, "For the Lord is your life." Is God your life? Is the Lord your life? Let's stand. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your blessings, Lord, even when we don't recognize them as blessings, even when it feels like it's unanswered prayers. Father, may we never waver in our faith, but may we always trust You, even in the trials, even in the storms. Even when life doesn't make sense, Father, may we trust You. May each of us today, right now at this moment, make the choice and the decision to follow You wholeheartedly, to not turn to the right or to the left, to not just chase after the flesh, but Father, submit to the Holy Spirit. May Your Holy Spirit truly live through each and every one of us. May each and every one of us make the choice right now that we are going to serve You. No matter what the cost. No matter what comes our way, that we're going to trust You. That we're going to follow You. Father, if there's any this morning that's been wavering. If there's any this morning that have been submitting to the flesh and not to the Spirit, that we have not had a renewed mind, but our mind has been jumbled up with the garbage of this world and the garbage that the enemy wants to implant in us. Father, right now, may we have a fresh start. May You come in and cleanse our mind, and may we truly begin to grab hold of the things that are lovely, the things that are pure, the things that are trustworthy. May we begin to meditate on those things. May we begin to meditate upon Your Word in You, Father. May we not fail quickly. May we not give in to temptation so easily, but may we stand firm and steadfast, not looking away, but keeping our gaze fixed straight upon You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if you need to get your mind right, the altars are open.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all of my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then You looked at this prisoner and said to me, "Son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. Shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed.
I'd really challenge y'all this week to keep in the forefront of your mind of the choices that you're making. Is this of God or is this of the flesh? Is this me or is this the Lord? Just really think about that this week and really pray and ask God's guidance, even in the little things. You don't know how one little act of kindness, how one little act of disobedience can totally change circumstances, can even totally change your life. It's making those little decisions to obey, making the choice to follow the Lord each and every day. So this week, just ask God, Father, what would you have me do? How should I handle this? What should I do? Trust and obey, right?